Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio with us. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, first, I just want to commend Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. I had the opportunity to listen to the Let's Talk Legal program on Tuesday morning. A lot of great advice there. If there's any listeners out there that are dealing with property damage, dealing with insurance issues related to Hurricane Florence damage.
They fielded some great questions there,
too. Exactly. Yeah. A lot of callers called in and had their questions answered. You know, certainly we have all of our radio programs up on the HarvellandCollins, .com webpage. So I would encourage anyone who has those type of questions to go give it a listen.
Okay.
Cause I do think it was very informative. And you know, what we've been trying to do on this program is approach things from the tax side of things. So whereas, Cecil and Wes are dealing with insurance type issues, dealing with property damage, and what your rights and remedies are. We try to look to see if we can get some tax breaks. Regarding it. And I think that last week, you know, we talked about how the service had extended some deadlines to file all the way up till January 31st. So if there's some issues there, with getting those tax filings made, do take a look at the IRS.gov website and certainly see, because most of the deadlines been that are in September, October, even towards the end of the year, have been extended out to January 31st, 2019. So certainly I encourage our listeners to look into that if you're struggling to try to get those tax filings made. We left off last week very quickly talking about casualty losses. And that's where I wanted to pick back up again this week, because I feel like it needs a little bit more time for us to be able to go through some of the particulars. And then I also want to get to, I mentioned on last week's program that I thought that one of our North Carolina congressmen would likely put forth a bill to give enhanced tax breaks as a result of Hurricane Florence, and I did see a report out there that one of our congressmen has stepped up. And we'll go through kind of what the framework is for the bill that's going to be presented to Congress, and I do believe it likely is to pass. But let's start with casualty losses today, and let's talk what is a casualty loss. So it's just what it sounds like. You know, it's losses that are based upon damage that's done to your property during a disaster, you know, such as a hurricane. So certainly we are in that boat. And then the other big thing that we've talked about is that the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act actually curtails casualty losses. But there's a huge exception, and it's when you're in a federally declared disaster area, which all of our Carteret County and surrounding counties have obviously been declared federal disaster areas, so you're allowed to take casualty losses. Normal wear and tear is not going to be allowed. So, you know, this is gets to whether the damage was caused by the actual event itself, the hurricane, or whether it was due to just normal, everyday, you know, use of the property. So that's not going to be allowed to be taken. The other thing, Ben, is if you're reimbursed by insurance. So, you know, you make your claim and they write you a check. Any loss that you may have as a result of the hurricane, if you are reimbursed by insurance, you're going to need to deduct those payments from the insurance company off of your potential casualty loss. When to deduct? Now, this is an interesting question, because what we've said is that you can deduct your casualty losses in the year in which the loss actually occurs, or since we're in the federal disaster area, you can go back a year. And so we've talked about how that may interplay this year with the fact that, you know, because casualty losses are required to be itemized deductions, and with the increased standard deduction for this particular tax year, it may be a benefit for our listeners to go back and amend their 2017 returns in order to deduct the casualty loss in that particular year, because a lot more taxpayers are going to be itemizing their deductions in 2017 versus 2018.
And that's because we're in a federally declared disaster area, not because it's like a one-year exception from this new tax law.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's a federal, it's that designation which triggers that option to be able to go back a year.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So I think that's something that certainly, you know, the great thing about tax preparation, if you are certainly if you have a CPA, you know, you can get let them run the numbers and see which is more beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you've done your own taxes, the great thing about it is these software programs are very easy to just put the information in and see if whether or not it'd be more beneficial to take it last year, especially if you're not going to be itemizing this year. But we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay.
And then the amount of the loss. So one of the questions, well, how do I determine what my loss is? You know, you look at what the fair market value of the property is, or your adjusted basis, what you paid for the property, whichever is lower at that particular point in time is what you're going to go with. And then you're going to have to reduce, and this just seems like a crazy old tax rule, reduce everything by $100. so your loss is reduced by $100. And then you're also...
So if somebody has $200,000 in losses, has to reduce it by $100.
Yeah. And then you're limited to 10% of your adjusted gross income. I think probably the best way to do this is just a little example. So the example would be, you know, if you have a $30,000 casualty loss and you have adjusted gross income of $150,000, your allowable deduction is going to be the $30,000 minus the $100, and then minus $15,000 because you take 10% of your AGI and have to knock it off. So your total loss would be $14,900 that you're allowed to take in that particular regard. So that just gives you a little hypothetical way of how you're going to be able to calculate this loss.
And you'll notice 10%. What did you say? How much of your AGI?
10% of your AGI would be reduced from your casualty loss.
Okay.
So you know, in this example that we had here, we had $150,000 of AGI. 10% of that is going to be $15,000. That's why you take that off minus the $100. Mm-hmm. You have $30,000 in losses. You're at $14,900. It's going to be your loss. It's going to be allowable.
Okay.
So know there's going to be two deductions, the $100 deduction, 10% of AGI off of whatever your losses are going to be.
All right. So that's not really a cap on your losses. It's just how much it can be reduced by.
That's correct. That's how much you have to reduce your losses by.
In the same example, $100,000 loss. It'd still only be reduced by $15,000.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So you'd have reduction of 10% and $100. So just know those are the two kind of limitations that are going to be applicable there.
And your AGI is going to be more than just wage income. It's going to be interest and all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of people who are retired, you know, they may not have a wage income any longer.
So. That's right. That's right. So let's get kind of that's the general rules on casualty losses. Now I mentioned that that there's a congressman in North Carolina by the name of George Holding, and David Rouser and Tom Rice, who actually is from South Carolina, are going to put forth a bill that's very similar to what passed, you know, for Irma tax relief, that we talked about last show. And what the changes they want to make to the casualty losses are relatively straightforward. No itemization would be required.
Right.
So, therefore, even if you took the standard deduction for this particular year, you would still be able to take your casualty losses. So that's a really, really big benefit, especially for this particular tax year.
So the changes they're looking for is to be able to basically above the line
you're
losses.
You're exactly right. Call it above the line deduction. So, you know, I take student loan interest deduction. That's above the line. So if I don't itemize my deductions, I still get my student loan interest deduction. Same thing would be with casualty losses if they do get this bill passed.
Okay, so they may not have to go back and amend.
Exactly. Right. That may mean that 2018 might be a better year to take your loss depending on, you know, this particular bill. The other thing that that they want to do is eliminate that AGI limitation so that – that we just spoke of, the 10% AGI that's going to come off the top, they want to eliminate that in this particular bill as well. So, you know, if we flip back to our example, Ben, of the $30,000 casualty loss, if we take that AGI limitation out of there, the only thing we have to reduce it by is $100.
Yeah,
so we're at $29,900 loss that's going to be allowed. So that's a much bigger benefit, you know, depending on what your AGI is, of course.
But, however, I can see that being the compromise that comes back into it, you know, if it gets before Congress. You always have to go in and ask for the wheelbarrow and you settle for the bucket. So,
Well, Hurricane Irma victims did get it. So I'll say that much. So we'll see if our congressman can push it along. enough there. But yeah, certainly those are two big things that can happen on the casualty loss side, mm-hmm. to really, really enable individuals to take advantage of that on this year's tax return. Another thing they're trying to eliminate then is the 10% penalty on early withdrawals from retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to allow individuals, so just to back up, the 10% penalty is if you take money out of your retirement account prior to the age of 59 and a half,
mm-hmm.
you're subject to a 10% penalty
right.
on the money that you take out of your retirement accounts.
But they're saying in this case, if you meet these other criteria, being in a disaster zone, right?
You got it. So, okay. So what they're trying to do is say, look, if you're in these particular areas that have been federal disaster areas and you need money, for instance, to, you know,
live.
Fix your property, to live because yeah. you have lost wages, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll be able to take money out of your retirement account without having to forego that 10% penalty. Now,
right.
I didn't say that you're going to forego the tax on the money, because when
right.
you pull the money out, it's still going to be taxable,
mm-hmm.
but you won't be subject to that additional 10% penalty as long as this legislation gets passed. So that's going to be a big benefit for individuals who have retirement accounts who need to dip into that money.
Well, keep an eye on all that for us.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
the other thing I'll tell you is they've got, they're going to allow individuals who have kind of loss in wages. You know, a
mm-hmm.
lot of our listeners, unfortunately, are out of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, restaurants are closed here in town. I mean, businesses are still trying to get up and running. So what they're going to allow you to do is take your earned income tax credit and your child tax credit based upon last year's income.
Oh, okay.
So this will be a benefit because that'll be, you know, if anyone's seen a reduction in income due to the storm, they're not going to penalize you because you're going to show less wages made
mm-hmm.
for 2018 because you were out of work. So, you know, keep in mind that's going to be another good benefit there.
Yeah, and again, disasterassistance.gov helps you with the for those who are unemployed. They may be able to get some relief now, but also for businesses, there's some business recovery information there as well too. So check that out. We'll be looking forward to hearing more, because I'm sure you're going to keep track of that for us on Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster. Go to afoster@harvellandcollins.com to email Andrew, and we'll have you back next week.